What a blessing. Turn to Genesis chapter number 22 this morning. Genesis chapter number 22. We're looking at the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we've had a lot going on last Sunday, a lot going on this Sunday, but I'm going to share a message with you this morning that the Lord actually gave me in about 1970. I've preached a few times, but as I've studied Abraham and shared some things with you already about Abraham, two or three messages, this has been on my heart. I've prayed for it for about 3 weeks, and I know that God's got a word for us this morning. Can you follow with me as I read this morning in the book of Genesis chapter 22? And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which the Lord had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar, on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you again for the wonderful week of drama camp here with Brother Tim, for those who were able to go to the Arise Conference, and my Lord, how you bless. Lord, what an encouraging, blessing thing to know thy Father, that God, you're on the throne, and that there are hundreds, even thousands, as many as 6,000 to 7,000 teenagers who showed up to worship you, to hear good Bible preaching and singing. And Lord, we know that this nation's in trouble, but God, when I hear that, see that, I'm also saying there's hope. There's hope that God still has a remnant that He's blessing. And God, I do pray that God, here in this working ministry here, that God, you'd continue to raise up. Lord, call some to preach out of here, some to be missionaries, some to do other things. But God, help us to be missionaries here at home, to share, be soul winners here at home, to find our young people and teenagers and elderly folk and bring them all into the house of God, that we might together worship you and hear the word of God, and some who don't know Christ would be saved. Now, God, bless this time together. Lord, I'm blessed that I can bow before you and acknowledge that there's no good thing in me. God, apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. But God, do breathe here today. God, give us your touch, give us your anointing, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're so thankful for the blessing of God on Abraham and the lessons that you learned. There's so many types and figures in the life of Abraham that we've already looked at, and there'll be more before I finish. I'll try to finish Abraham up this month before we finish the month. But I hope that you'll be praying with us and studying with us. But Abraham, one of the most paramount figures in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament. He's mentioned in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament character. He is the father of the Jews, but he's also the father of the faithful. And here in this passage of Scripture is a truth that God really spoke to my heart. Last Sunday, just briefly, I talked to you about the fact that of the doctrine of salvation through substitution, that Christ, the Bible said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, He died in our place. He died in our stead. All the judgment of our sin fell on Him. On that day on Calvary, God judged all of my sin, all of your sin. He exacted, He became what the Bible said. He was able to be just and the justifier of them that believe. He was just, He was holy. He did not excuse your sin. He didn't ignore your sin. He didn't ignore my sin. He didn't hide my sin. He judged my sin and your sin in the person of His Son. The biblical doctrine of salvation through substitution. Christ died for us. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I've came not to live, but to die and to give my life a ransom. And thank God we have been redeemed, not with silver and gold or precious stones, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to note in this passage of Scripture one little phrase, and I'll do it quickly. I'll have a short time this morning, but I want you to look with me at it. Notice what it says. What a experience this must have been. God had promised Abraham a son supernaturally. Some time went by. Abraham was past the age of fathering children. His wife was beyond the age of bearing children. But God had promised them a child. And some time went on, and then his wife, Sarah, said, take my handmaid, Hagar, and raise up a seed unto her, and be your seed. And so the boy was born. Ishmael was born. And God said, I will bless him. He will be a wild man, and he will be a troublemaker. And so he has been. But he raised him as his own son for about 14 years. And he favored him. He loved him, and he put his life into him. But then the time came when Sarah conceived, and she wanted them gone, wanted Hagar and Ishmael out of their life. That was all the plan, the providence of God. And in the New Testament, Paul explains that typology so wonderfully. But they had to be put away because the promised child, Isaac, was coming. And Isaac was born. And from that day forward, every day Abraham saw that boy, he thought, this is the promised seed. Out of him, the Bible said, will come my descendants as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. He loved that boy, watched him. I don't have to wonder if he loved it. The Holy Ghost said he loved him, whom thou lovest. He's a picture of the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, his only begotten Son that he gave for the whole world. And here in this passage of Scripture, we see something amazing. God says to Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and take him and offer him for a sacrifice. And so he takes him. He doesn't hesitate. He takes two men with him. So there's the father and there are three men. There's a son and two other men. Does that remind you of anything at Calvary when God, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, the Father was there. The Son was on the cross. The Holy Ghost of God was working. But there were two malefactors on either side. What a wonderful picture of Calvary. There are many Bible believers and Bible scholars who believe that when they came to Moriah, they actually came to Calvary. And where he was going to offer his son is where Christ actually died, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But they make preparation. And I want to say to you in the first place, there's Isaac says to his father, look at it in verse number 7. And Isaac said to Abraham, his father, and he said, my father, and he said unto him, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? What an amazing question. What a probing question, challenging question. Where is the lamb? Where's the lamb in your life? Where's the lamb in the life of the ministry of this church? Because a wonderful song that Savannah just sang, it's all about him. He ought to be the focal point. He ought to be our message. The Bible says they continue daily from breaking of bread and from house to house, and they cease not the teaching to preach Jesus. The message of the church and this church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God, and he ought to be paramount in our preaching and our singing and everything else we do. He ought to be the focal point. He ought to be the message. It is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the lamb? And can I say to you in the first place, there's absolutely, and Isaac understood it, there was a need for that burnt offering. There was a need for that lamb. He had to have that lamb. The lamb was necessary because of sin. You see, it was a sacrifice for sin, that burnt offering, because the Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whereas by one man sin into the world, death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. We all have a sin debt upon us that has to be paid. And there was a need for that sacrifice because of sin. But it was needed also because of imminent death. The wages of sin is death. And people die at all ages. There's a need for the sacrifice for sin because the wage of sin is death. The sin in me, the sin in you, is punishable by death, and it will be exacted. It will be taken out. You'll die for your own sin, or you accept the offering that has been given for your sin in the person of His Son. Death was the penalty of sin, and they had to have a sacrifice for that. And then sin cannot be undone. You can make up your mind right now, I'm going to live the rest of my life. I'll try to keep the commandments. I'll do good. I'll go to church. I'm going to quit smoking, quit drinking, quit doing all the things that are wrong. But you won't get to go to heaven because it's not what you don't do. It's what you do that makes a difference. And what you do is this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can't go back and undo. If you could start living perfectly from right now on, the Bible said God requires that which is past. What can you go back and do? What can you undo about your sin? Not one thing. You can't go back and undo any sin. And so there's a necessity for this sacrifice of sin. But the second thing I want to note to you this morning is without the Lamb, everything else is inadequate. Abraham was taking him up to the hill. They had the wood. They had the fire. And Isaac looks around and said, Daddy, here's the wood. Here's the fire. But where is the Lamb? You see, you've got to have that Lamb. Notice, first of all, the Bible said they arose early. They put forth an effort. They did the best they could. Somebody said to me one time and have many years over these years when I talked to them about being saved, they said, well, preacher, I'm not as good as some, but I'm doing the best I can. If you did the best a human being possibly could do, you wouldn't get to go to heaven. Because the Bible says that all of our righteousness is filthy rags. They put forth effort. They did the best they could. But that's not good enough because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before Him. Notice something else. The Bible says that not only did they get up early and then they go do that, but He had wood. That wood to me speaks of Calvary. He bore the cross and He said He put the wood upon His Son, His only Son, and He carried it like Christ carried the cross for us. But my dear friend, wearing a cross won't get you to heaven. Having a cross tattooed on your arm won't get you to heaven. Having an old ball cap and a t-shirt, that won't get you to heaven because it's not just the cross, but it's what happened on that cross that makes the difference. My dear friend, that cross, that wood represents to me potential, like natural gifts and natural abilities. This pulpit right here is made out of wood. My Bible is made out of wood. It's paper. It has great potential. And many of you have great gifts to speak or to sing or to, and you just have a gift of personality. You're a kind person. You're benevolent. You want to give. You want to help people. You're just natured that way. You're not a wicked, as it were, so far as your actions and all concerned, but we understand that all of us sin and come short of the glory of God. But with all of that great potential, if you die and have to face God one of these days, and you'll say, God, I did my best. Lord, I used the gifts You gave me to be kind to people. I was able to work and had money. I could give money to people who had need, and I did benevolent things and all kind of things. And He said, all those things are good. I gave You those gifts. I gave You those abilities for You used for My glory. But I have just one question. Where is the Lamb? Because you see, nobody gets into heaven without the Lamb of God. Then notice something else. The Bible said they had fire. That speaks to me of the burning conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And many of you have experienced that before. You've been in services where God spoke to your heart. You began to understand that you were lost. You forgot for a few moments. You didn't use that same old excuse, I'm as good as the preacher. I'm as good as the deacons. I'm as good as anybody else. But you felt personal conviction. You felt that conviction, burning power of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. But conviction is not salvation. Many of you heard the word of God, and as you left, you determined, I'm going to do better. But you didn't do the one thing that was important, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to accept Him as your Savior. There may have been a crisis point in your life. It may have been a death or tragedy or sadness, and something caused you to change in your life. A fire came in your life, a heartache, a storm. And out of that, you reformed your life. But when you die and go before God, you'll say, Lord, you remember that day at Benson Grove when the preacher preached and I felt like I knew I'd not been doing right, hadn't been doing good. And Lord, I've changed and I started doing good. And He'll say this to you, I understand that. I sent the Holy Spirit of God to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I sent the Holy Spirit of God to show you you needed to be saved. And I did convict you and I did have that fire of conviction on you. But you didn't respond rightfully. When you were convicted of your sin, righteousness, and judgment, you should have turned to my Son. And I have one question. Where is the Lamb? Because you see, nobody gets into heaven without the Lamb of God. Oh, my friend, listen, you think about it. They had the wood. They had the fire. They had the self-effort. But then the Bible says this. It says that they had built an altar there. They had a place to worship. You've been a member of this church forever, been a member of another church forever since you were going just a little kid. But church membership will not save you. Being a member of this church, anybody else's church, baptism does not save. You have to be born again by the grace of God. Many of you say, when you die and go to heaven, Lord, you remember my granddaddy gave the land that the church's house is built on. From the time I was a little boy, a little girl, my mom and daddy and my grandma all took me to church. I remember what my grandma said all the time, and I remember all those things. And I remember going through Sunday school, vacation Bible school. And Lord, you know I was in all of that. When I got up, I got in church and youth group and then in the choir. I was a good church member. And He said, I love the church and died for it. And I intend for you to be a part of the body of Christ, part of the church of the living God. But I have one question. Where is the Lamb? Because you don't get into heaven because you got baptized or because you're a member of a church, but because you have the Lamb of God. And without Him, everything else is inadequate. They even had a knife. That knife represents the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That some of you believe in the King James Bible and you read the King James Bible every day, been doing it as long as you can remember. Some of you got your grandma's Bible. I've had people, I don't know how many times, to tell me, I don't go to church, but I do read my Bible. I do read my Bible. And I said, well, it's a good thing to read the Bible. It is the Word of God. But the Bible said, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. If you read it and you don't do what it says, it benefits you nothing. You've got to be obedient to it. One of the great commands in the Bible is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Many people in this building, many people in the sound of my voice are Bible readers. They'll stand before God one of these days and say, Lord, you know, I read the Bible through 25 times in my life. And He said, that's a good thing. He said, I called the men who wrote the Bible. I filled them with the Holy Spirit of God and I spoke through them. I divinely preserved the Word of God and had it for you when you was a little boy and a teenager and an adult. And in that word, I said that you'd sin and come short of the glory of God and that you had to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you never did that. I have one question. Where is the Lamb? Because, see, nobody gets into heaven without the Lamb of God. You must have the Lamb of God. You can read your Bible every day, read it through year after year. But if you don't know Jesus, you won't be saved. He that hath the Son, the Bible said, hath life. He that hath the Son, hath not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. I see in this passage of Scripture the lesson, the necessity of the Lamb. I see in here the inadequacy of everything without the Lamb. But also I do see a lamb in this story. He turned around and looked and he saw a ram caught with around his horns with crown of thorns. I see a picture of that in the New Testament. They took that curse where God cursed the ground. It brought forth thorns and thistles. They took that curse and put it on him. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And the Lamb of God died for you, suffered and bled and died for you on that cross. He gave his life. There is a Lamb. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Everything is inadequate without him. But if you have him, he's all you need. You have to know him and have him. In Exodus chapter 12, I want to show you something. You may find that you've circled this at some point in time when I showed it to you. But in Exodus chapter 12, they're preparing for the Passover. And he makes this statement in verse number 3, speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they should take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Notice there's a need for a lamb. You got to have the lamb. You got to have that sacrifice. You can't save yourself. All of your righteousness is filthy rag. There's a need for a sacrifice for your sin, a lamb. But now notice verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, that definite article, the lamb. There's only one singular, the lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's Jesus. There's a need for a lamb. Jesus is the lamb to take away the sin of the world. And all of that's wonderful. But the next statement's what makes the difference. Look with me, please, at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male in the first year. Your lamb. What makes the difference between heaven and hell? I attended Benson Grove Baptist Church. I got baptized. No. I believe the Bible. I read the Bible. No. I do good. I'm kind to people and I help people and I give money to people that need financial help. All that's good, but none of that'll get you to heaven. He has to be your lamb. He has to be your Savior. It has to be personal. He has to come into your life. You have to personally call on the name of the Lord. You have to believe on him and ask him to forgive you of your sin, and he'll become your lamb and your Savior. Would you bow your heads for prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Our Father, I've tried as best I could to share the message of Genesis chapter 22, that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And where you spared the son of Abraham, you did not spare your own son, but you delivered him up for us all, that he might suffer and bleed and die and purchase redemption for every boy, girl, man, and woman, that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, for those here this morning who know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's absolutely imperative that he be demonstrated and lived out in our life. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me as pastor, help me as a Christian, that wherever I go, that they would see Jesus in me. And they may would say about me and about our friends here at Benson Grove, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They reflected Christ. And Lord, for those in the building this morning who have thought by some other way they were going to get to go to heaven, that you'd make a concession. Help us to understand that everything else is inadequate without the Lamb. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. Lord, I pray that men and women, boys and girls, people in the media and in the radio audience would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that they'd understand there's a need for a lamb, the sacrifice for sin, and that Jesus is the lamb that came that we might have everlasting life. He shed his blood to pay for our sin. Lord, I pray he would become their lamb. I pray they could say he is my lamb. that he would be their lamb. Lord, I pray now that God, you'd speak to hearts, do what I cannot do, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake.